through that. And I thought for sure the Lord wanted us here, and just really enjoyed being here. And we prayed about it and prayed about it for probably 2 years, I think it was, maybe a little more. And the Lord never really gave me peace on it. I told my wife one morning, I didn't even tell her what was going on in my head. We were planning on coming. One morning I just told her, I said, "Honey, the Lord wants us to go to South Lyon, Michigan." And she said, "You're crazy." I said, "I know I am, but I think that's what God wants us to do." And for years, I'd heard a preacher recently, let me back up and say this, I recently heard a preacher say that God had given him everything he'd ever wanted. And that was a blessing. That testimony was a blessing. Hear that. He said, serving God, it pays, and God's taken wonderful care of me. And I thought, well, my testimony is exactly the opposite. I did not want to be a preacher, but that's what the Lord wanted me to do. I can't stand being up in front of people. The most embarrassing thing in the world is hearing Brother Veach say nice things about me. It drives me crazy. I got to tell you, the last time he came to our church, and I was thinking about getting even, but out of respect, I didn't. I tried to give him a nice introduction like that, and he literally pushed me off the platform. So I was thinking about getting even, but I decided to respect him just because he's older, all right? So, but I feel the same way. I don't like that. I hate being up in front of people. And I ran from God for years on that. And finally, when I gave my life to God, I got right with God. I did what God wanted me to do. He called me to preach. And I knew it. I knew it. And then the one place I said I wouldn't go, I was surrendered to go anywhere in the world. We wanted to come here bad. I wanted to go anywhere in the world. I'd go anywhere in the world. I told the Lord if you wanted me in Africa, I'd go to Africa. It didn't matter where. Papua New Guinea. Anywhere God wanted me to go, I was willing to go, but I was not willing to go to South Lyon, which is where I grew up. And God called me to South Lyon. And my testimony is the opposite. Everything I didn't want to do, God called me to do. But let me say this, I am one happy man this morning, this evening. I mean, I am happy. I thank God that He knows better than I know. And His ways aren't our ways, but man, His ways are good. And I'm very, very, very thrilled to be where I'm at. In South Lyon, Michigan, doing what I'm doing. I just thank God for what God's doing. And one thing I actually recently at a church we went, they asked us to come, and they were doing a missions conference, and one night they wanted to do a home missions emphasis, the United States. So they asked us to come and present what the Lord's been doing at our church. And I told them, I said, the honest truth is I have no idea how to build a church. I'm clueless about what I'm doing, but I'm glad God never told me I had to know. He said He'd build His church. And Jesus Christ is the one that builds it. And that's a blessing to me. It's such a source of peace for me to know that Jesus Christ can get the job done. And all we got to do sometimes is follow Him. And He'll get it done. So I'm thankful for that. I want to preach to you today, if you would, for a few minutes. I will do my best to try to keep it brief. I don't promise that, because you know how it is when the preacher promises that, it scares everybody to death. But I'd like to keep it brief. If you could turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 22. 1 Samuel chapter 22, we're going to read two verses and then we're going to go to 1 Chronicles. And we're going to preach from 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. I don't need this. All right. That's all right. 1 Samuel chapter 22 in your Bibles. We're going to read two verses and then from there we're going to go to 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and preach from that text. This is one of the passages in the Bible that I love. I love these two verses here. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 22, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. If you would, please go with me to 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. We're going to read the first two verses here for the sake of time. We're going to preach from more than that, but we're just going to read the first two verses. And the Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter number 12 and verse 1, "Now these are they that came to David, to Ziklag, while he yet kept himself close because of Saul the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men, helpers of the war." As I was reading my Bible a couple weeks ago, that phrase stuck out at me. It jumped out at me. Helpers of the war. In verse number 2 it says they were armed with bows and they could use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow, even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. Let's go to the Lord in prayer if you would please. Pray with me that God will use me, that God will speak to us through the Word of God. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be here tonight. Lord, I thank You for the call to preach. And Lord, I know that it's not in me. Father, I'm confident tonight that if I just get up here and try to do something, nothing's going to get done. And God, I thank You for the Bible, for the confidence we can have in the Word of God. And Father, my faith is in this book tonight. My faith, Lord, is in the Holy Spirit of God. And I pray, Lord, as we get into this passage of Scripture, that You'd speak to our hearts. Father, raise up some helpers of the war. Lord, we got a battle to fight. We know it's real. Like Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And Father, we know we're in a battlefield for the souls of men. We know we're in the battlefield for our walk with Jesus Christ. And God, I pray that You'd help us tonight to enlist in the army, to sell out, to be helpers for the war. I pray, Lord, You'd speak to hearts, bring conviction by the Holy Spirit of God. Those, Lord, that are here tonight that are discouraged, that need help, that need encouraging, I ask You, God, to pick them up and encourage them. Father, anybody here that's not right with God, that's not sold out, that has areas of their heart and life that they're keeping that are closed off to God, I pray, Lord, that tonight they'd get right. Lord, most of all, if there's anybody here that's not saved, I pray tonight, Father, that they'd come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, put a guard at the door of my mouth. Help me not to say anything that would not honor You. Help me not to say anything that would displease You. And Lord, give me boldness by the Holy Spirit of God to say everything You'd have me to say. Lord, I want to surrender myself, my heart, my mind to You right now, God. And I ask You, please, to help me, to fill me, to use me for Your honor and glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in this passage of Scripture, you see King David as a type of Jesus Christ. He's probably one of my favorite characters in the Word of God. I love David. I love studying the life of David. The more I see of David, the more it stirs my heart up for God. I'm thankful for David. I'm thankful for these Old Testament illustrations and the things that we can see in the Bible and how it applies to our life nowadays. I'm glad this is not just some archaic old book that is just some religious relic that people used to read, but it actually applies to me today in 2009. And today I believe we can get some help from the Word of God if we'll take a look at what the Bible's teaching here. David is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here in this passage of Scripture, David has already been anointed as the next king of Israel. And he's running for his life. Listen, let me say this. Jesus Christ is already anointed as the king that's going to rule and reign on this earth. He's going to be here for 1,000 years. As sure as you're sitting here today, it doesn't matter whether you and I believe it or not, it's going to happen. And even though he's not ruling yet, he's going to rule. I thank God today that I have my faith in this Bible. I know what this Bible teaches. And I know someday soon Jesus Christ is going to come back. He's going to split the eastern sky. He's going to set up His kingdom on this earth. And for the first time, we're finally going to have some real peace on this earth. All this talk about peace, peace, peace. There ain't no peace, folks, without Jesus Christ. And even though Jesus Christ is not ruling yet, He still is the King. And you see in this passage of Scripture that David is the king. He's been anointed. He's got the throne because God said He's going to get it. But Saul was still the one running the show. Saul was still the king that was reigning in Israel. Listen, I have people all the time come to me when I'm witnessing and they say, why would a just and holy God, a merciful, loving God, allow all these bad things to happen in my life? I say, hey, it ain't God's fault. Don't you realize who the God of this world is? Satan is the God of this world. He loves nothing more than to watch us suffer the consequences for our sin and put the blame on God all the time. Listen, Saul's the one who's ruling in the kingdom here, and David is running for his life. And all the while, it looks real bad, it looks real bleak. It looks like the economy in America. We hear all this negative press constantly all the time. I'm sick of worrying about this stuff. I mean, I'm from the Detroit area. We've been dealing with it for 2 or 3 years before it even hit the country. I'm sick of hearing all the negative press. As bad as it looks, God Almighty is still doing something here in this passage of Scripture. We saw in 1 Samuel, that all them that were in distress, all them that were in debt, and all those who were discontented gathered themselves to David. You know what I like about that? That's me. That's me. all those that were in distress. Hey, listen, God Almighty is not going out looking for somebody who's got his act together to call him to preach, to send him to a mission field, to use his life. You know what he's looking for? Some people that realize they need him. All those that were in distress, all those that were in debt. Listen, folks, until we realize that we owe something, God ain't going to use us. God ain't going to use us. We get this mentality as Americans that everybody owes us everything. I mean, my generation, my culture, man, if you don't have the money for it, put it on credit. Go get it. I ain't waiting for it. You can't get credit, get a gun, but get what you want. Because you know what? We don't wait for nothing. Everybody owes us something. Why is this happening to me? I'm a good person. Hey, listen, guess what? Nobody owes me anything. Amen? I owe my whole life to Jesus Christ. I am in debt to Him. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, guess what? You got a debt you can't pay. People try to go to church and do all these good works and tip Jesus on Sunday thinking somehow or another their good works are going to buy their way out of hell. You can't buy your way out of hell. There's a fact of the matter, folks, that we are all sinners. You know what some of the biggest sinners are? Religious people. Walk in feeling good about ourselves. Oh, I thank God I'm not a wicked sinner like that, man. You know what that is? That's the sin of Satan. It's pride. You know what we are? We got a debt we can't pay. I got a debt that I can't pay, but Jesus Christ Himself, the King, He paid my debt on the cross of Calvary. He came like David with a meek heart, a lowly heart. David was a man after God's own heart. I believe that means two things. He sought after God's heart, and he had a heart that conformed itself to the image of God. To the image of God, excuse me. I believe we ought to be people after God's own heart. Jesus Christ came and gave everything. He died on the cross of Calvary to wash me of my sins. Thank God for that. It was through His precious blood that I found redemption for my soul. Without Him, I'd split hell wide open. And guess what, friends? I deserve to go to hell. I have a debt that I can't pay. But let me say this. Since I got saved, I got a new debt. Paul said, I'm a debtor to preach the gospel. I got something that I owe every person in the world, whether they want to hear it or not, whether they like it or not, whether they blow me off or not. I owe them the gospel of Jesus Christ because of what it's done in my life, what it's done in my heart. I owe people the gospel. My life is no longer my own. My heart breaks, friends, as I look and I see my generation. If you're here today and you're over 50 years old, I just pray for you. I want to be a blessing and a help to you. But if you're here today and you're under 40, 45 years old, boy, my heart breaks for our generation, friend. I hope to God you catch a burden for the generation that we live in. We are growing up in a generation of people in America. We have a mission field. They don't know God anymore. They're taught their whole life that they came from a monkey and that everything just happens and that this all just created itself and that there is no absolute right or wrong and that God doesn't really love them and doesn't really care about them and the family structure's falling apart and they're born into a world without God here in America. God called me and sent me to South Lyon, Michigan. And I said, God, why South Lyon? There's about 3 mega contemporary churches within 20 minutes of our church. And that does not include all the other denominations that are there. And people come up and say, well, you're the new preacher in town, huh? I say, yep. Why'd you start another one in South Lyon? We got enough churches. I say, you know what? I agree. God wanted me to do it. You know what I'm finding, friends? That even in religious areas in America, people don't really believe God. They don't really believe the Bible. They don't really believe that God Almighty loves them, knows where they're at, and has a desire for their life. They don't really believe that God could actually use them and do something with them. We were seeing people saved, and it's amazing to me. It's amazing to me that they're even getting saved. They'll come for 8 months, come for a year before they actually get saved. They sit there. I had one young man come. He believed that he was into Eastern mysticism. He'd sit there like this, and he'd stare at me while I preach. He'd make faces at me. He'd shake his head back and forth. Boy, he got to me too. I'll tell you, started irritating me to no end. I was about ready to tell him, why do you even keep coming, man? One day he disappeared. He didn't show up for a whole month. He walked into the church one Thursday night out of the blue. Came up to me. He stood there looking at me. He's about 6'3", and you know I. I'm short, so all short men have a complex, whether they admit it or not, we do. And he walks right up and he gets up in my face like this. He looks down at me and I thought, here we go. I said, how you doing? He said, good. He said, you know, preacher, you know as well as I do that I'm not a Christian. I said, I know it. He said, I don't know what it is, but this week I invited 7 people to your church. I said, really? He said, I'm out witnessing and I don't even believe this stuff. I said, well, why do you think that is? He said, because you got something here that we don't have out there. And he said, you know what? And he started crying. And I said, Colin, you know what you need, and it's Jesus Christ. And he shook his head and he said, I got to go. And he took off. Came back the next Sunday morning, sat on the front row and stared at me the whole time I was preaching. We gave the invitation. We went through the songs 2 times. I was staring at him. He was staring at me. He's shaking his head. He finally just started bawling, fell down on his face, and asked Jesus Christ to save his soul. You know what he is? A 17-year-old young man without hope, without God in America, in my town. We see him walking around all the time and we see, oh, young people nowadays, what's the matter with these kids? Look at the way they act. Look at the way they behave themselves. We had more character back in the day. But the problem, friend, is that they don't know God anymore. Here we are in America, and our own country's going to hell in a handbasket, and we've got a gospel, we've got a king. He might not be reigning on this earth right now, but he's a coming, friends, and he's real, and the gospel's real, and it'll work even in America. Amen. I thank God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what we need to realize? We got a debt, and we can't pay it. I owe him everything. I could give my whole life to Jesus Christ. I could stay up all night and pray and fast and give every penny I got to the cause of Christ, preach and witness to every person I see, and I never could exhaust the debt that I owe Jesus Christ. I'm glad we got a real king, friends. And I believe he's calling out a people for his name. That's what the church is. You know what we're supposed to be following? The name of Jesus Christ. This gentleman right here got me started down that road. I thought for sure, we started the church, I prayed about what to name it. And I thought for sure leaving Baptist off that sign was going to cost me everybody I've ever known my whole life. So, but we left it off anyways. You know why? There's only one name that matters, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And guess what? It hasn't cost me a thing. Come to find out, a whole lot of the other fellows are saying, you know, we've been kind of thinking the same thing, brother. Hey, listen, there's one name. It's the name of Jesus Christ. And He is a-coming. And as sure as you and I are here today, He's coming back. And He's calling out some people for His name. I'm fed up with the mentality that says, this is Laodicea. Let's just give up. Nobody wants it anymore. We got to gather together in our little depressed gatherings. And come and sing the praises and thank God at least we're saved. Even though there's no hope for America. That's a sick thing. Sick mentality. That's a sick mentality. Listen, the reason we're still here is because he's still gathering some people for his name. Me and the preacher were talking a few days ago and said, this might not be the great times of revival like Billy Sunday went through, but I sure am loving gleaning, ain't you? I'll take one here, one there, 2 here, 2 there. Praise God for it. You know what we need to realize? We got a debt. All that we're discontented, that's the problem. You know, the people that came out to help David out were men that were discontented. They weren't happy. You know what the problem with us is? I say us because I'm part of us. Amen. I got the same rotten flesh you got. You know what the problem with us is? We're content. Go home, sit down, turn on the TV, chill out a few hours, go to bed, money in the bank, bills are paid, we live in America. No matter how bad the economy gets, we still got it better than most. You know what we are? We're content. You know, I don't ever want to get to the point where I get content with my walk with Jesus Christ. And that's sad to say, too much of the time I am. I don't ever want to be content with my prayer life saying, I prayed enough, God answered prayers, I'm learning enough about Jesus Christ, I'm drawing closer to Him, I'm growing spiritually, look how God's blessing. I guess everything's okay. Everything's not okay. I find myself going home after leading somebody to Christ, having to repent before I can even get to the house because of how wicked my flesh is. Well, praise the Lord, I led somebody to Christ today. Glory to God. Let everybody know how spiritual we are. You know what the problem is? We get too content, even when God is blessing. You know what God's looking for? A bunch of losers. Amen. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you the truth. The men that came out to help David were a bunch of losers. You know what I love about our church? We seem to be reaching a bunch of losers. We do. We got about 6 or 7 guys come in, sit on the front row. I mean, their pants are falling off, got tattoos on their neck, big old diamond earrings in their ears, getting saved one at a time. You know what they are? Losers. Lefty got saved last Sunday. Lefty's been coming off and on for about 3 months. Lefty's name is Lefty because at 6 months old he had a seizure or a stroke. And he's about 40% paralyzed on his whole left side, 20 years old. Lefty has nowhere to live. He just kind of bounces around from buddy to buddy in town. He works a job, smokes dope, but he has nothing going for him. No dad's ever taught him. Listen, I was talking to some of these young men this week. They've never opened a bank account. They've never wrote a check. They don't even know how. They take the paycheck whenever they get a job down to the party store, cash it, and go buy dope. That's how they're living at 22 years old. They got nothing. You know what they are? Losers. But you know what they know? They know they need Jesus Christ because their life is nothing and it's never going to be anything without Him changing them from the inside out. I like these guys. I just love those guys, man. I just love them. Got a phone call last, Wednesday or something? Nobody was there. But boy, something was going on in the background. And their mom called me. I happened to be at the church in the trailer park where they live, right behind the church. So I went running out there, bust in the door. Two of the brothers are just tearing each other up, man. A big old fist fight. One guy woke the other guy up while he was sleeping. You don't wake him up when he's sleeping. I mean, that was the offense. He woke me up. Somebody's calling the cops. They got warrants out for their arrest. We're trying to get that cleared up. God's been working. I don't even want to get started because it's just unbelievable what the Lord's been doing. So I'm over there breaking up the fight. I take the kids up to the church. I sit them down. I say, what's your problem? You know what? They start bawling. In and out of juvie their whole life, bawling. I mean, tears running down his face. Preacher, I'm never going to amount to nothing. I'm just going to wind up back in jail again. Your chances of ever amounting to anything are less than 5%. Been in and out of jail so much his life. You know what he is? He's a loser. He said, preacher, if God will change my life, I'll serve Him the rest of my life. I said, buddy, God will change it. Knelt down and prayed. Hey, listen, friends, there's some people out there, we pass them all the time, that are in need. They're discontented. You know what God will do? He'll make mighty men out of them. You know what He'll do? He'll make them helpers for the war. In chapter 12, verse number 1, these men were mighty men. They were helpers of the war. You know what I hate about myself? Being a second-generation Christian, sometimes I hate it. I was saved at 5 years old, raised in a Christian home, taught how to walk and talk and how to carry a Bible and how to quote Bible verses and how to sit in church and look good to all the brethren. You know what I hate? I hate that. I hate the mentality that doesn't get along with God. God doesn't have any grandkids. You know what the problem in a lot of our churches in America? We've adopted mama and daddy's God and we've never seen Him do something for us. We've never enlisted in the army and said, God, I'll fight if You'll make a man out of me. Listen, there's a battle to be fought, friends. And it's a battle for our country. One of my greatest regrets is never having joined the military. I wanted to be a Marine. Just never did it. But listen, God called me to a different army. God called me into a different battle. And this one is more real than any battle that ever went on in the history of the world. This battle's real. I want you to notice a few things here in the passage of Scripture about being one of David's mighty men, a helper in the war. Obviously, David is a type of Jesus Christ. If you want to be one of Jesus Christ's mighty men, look down with me at verse number 8. You see, the first thing here, it says, and of the Gadites, there separated themselves unto David into the hold to the wilderness, men of might and men of war, fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions and were as swift as the roes upon the mountains. Notice in the first part of that verse, of the Gadites, there separated themselves unto David. The first step towards becoming one of those mighty men, one of the helpers in the war, is separating ourselves unto Jesus Christ. We like to separate ourselves from everything. People just drives people crazy in my town that we don't have a denomination on the sign. I go out, knock on doors, say, I'm Pastor Reagan with Bible Believers Church here in South Lyon. They say, what is that? I said, We're Bible believers. Well, what are you? Well, we are born-again Christians who believe the Bible is the Word of God, and that's what we preach. Well, is that like non-denominational? Well, no, we're not really non-denominational either. Well, what are you? I'm a born-again Christian. We follow Jesus Christ. We believe the Bible is the way. I mean, hello? You know what we want to do? We want to separate ourselves to everything and everybody but Jesus Christ. We like to take a man's name and walk around saying, I went to this school or that school. Where are you from? Who cares where I'm from? What I care about today is who I'm following today. We need to separate ourselves unto Jesus Christ. Amen. They separated themselves unto the King. And notice, they were men of might. They were men of might. You know, it's a sad thing in American culture today. It's kind of the cool thing for a man to be kind of a little girly. Where are the real men anymore? Where are the men that'll act like men? You know, we don't pass out tracts a lot of times because we're worried about somebody's going to think. Why would I care what you think of me? Honestly, I mean, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying. But why would I really care? What difference does it make? Some people like me, most people hate me. It doesn't really matter. You know what matters is if God likes me. It matters if God approves of me. It matters if my life pleases God. It's amazing to me the people I think are going to reject the gospel are the ones that are closest to getting saved. We went out knocking on doors. We knocked on this one door and a trailer front door. And a guy answers the door. Bald head. All tattooed up. Mean looking guy. He says, what? I said, I'm Pastor Reagan of the Bible Believers Church. We'd just like to invite you out on Sunday. He goes, I'm coming. I heard about you guys. I'll be there Sunday. He came Sunday. Hey, what do you know? I thought for sure we were going to get into a fight right there at the door. His brother's living there. When I come back, his brother, oh, it's that preacher again. Hey, you know what I'm hoping? I'm hoping his brother gets saved too. Hey, sometimes, folks, we don't really get it. You ever say something to somebody and have them take it wrong? Like, where'd they get that from? I didn't mean that. You ever try to be nice to somebody and they think you're being mean? Listen, you don't really understand people's reactions, so don't worry about their reactions. Just be a man. Just be a woman for God. Just do the job that we got to do. Notice this might's not a might in the flesh. It's not a might in the boldness of a man and the power of a man and the spiritual walk that a man has. The might in the New Testament is might in Christ. Jesus Christ said, whosoever will be chiefest among you, let him be your servant. I'd say in the last 2 years, the hardest part about pastoring a church is learning to serve people. It's learning to bite the tongue till it bleeds. They can say whatever they want, but you can't. Learning to be a servant. You know where the real strength is? It's in weakness. You know why I think God calls losers that are afraid of getting up in front of people to preach? Because guess what? Only God could do it. To this day, I'm standing in front of my church. High Sunday, we have 80 people. Last Sunday, we had 78 people, one of the highest Sundays we've had yet. And I'm standing up there. My hands are shaking. There's too many people here. I can't do this. Hey, you know what? God called me to do it. You know what? His strength is made perfect in my weakness. I love that about God. You walk into a time of temptation, guess what? His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Oh, preacher, I can't get up in front of people. That's the number one excuse I hear from young men about why they're not called to preach. And listen, if God ain't calling you to preach, don't worry about it. Amen? My preacher told me, Brother Sowell told me, he said, if you can be happy doing anything else, do it. If you're really called to preach, you'll know it. But listen, your excuses aren't legit. If God called you, God will give you the strength to do it. You know what they were? They were men of might. They were men of war. Men of war. Look, the Bible talks about us being fit for the Master's use. Men who are willing to get the sword bloody for Jesus Christ. Men who are willing to step up to the plate. Men who are willing to fight the good fight of faith. To lay hold on eternal life. You know what we got a bunch of? A bunch of weak, carnal, worldly-minded Christians in America. That's what we have. Sad to say, too much of the time, that's me. Well, I'm a worrywart. I'm just a worry. I've always been a worrier. I'm just a worrier. It's my nature. God has over and over and over again proven himself to me. I don't have to worry. God takes care of me. I still worry. I still worry. You know what I got to learn? I got to learn to be a man who can submit myself completely to Jesus Christ, get in the fight, don't worry about what's going to happen, just get in there. Came to a point in my life here at the church. My job was doing really good, and the Lord was blessing. And I'd been getting under conviction about quitting my job and going full-time at the church. The better the job was going, the more time I was given to the job. And the less time I was given to preaching. I made the biggest sale of my life, and I told my wife that morning, I said, all right, I'm going to go out and get a bigger one. You know, that's that call of the world, you know, the call of lust, the love for money. God just laid it on my heart, I needed to quit. A preacher came in to preach a revival for us. He looked around and said, this church could really use a full-time pastor. And I said, oh. You would have to say that, wouldn't you? Boy, he made me so mad. What business is it of yours? This is my church. Who are you to tell me to quit my job? You know what it was? It was the Holy Spirit. And God said, all right, what are you going to do? I don't even know for sure if I absolutely had to quit my job to please the Lord. But the Lord said, what are you going to do? And I was in such a quandary. I was in the middle of such a big war in my soul. I had to just quit just to prove to myself I could do it. I said, all right, Lord, I'm done. And I just jumped out there. Guess what? God caught me. I thought for sure we were going to go down. We didn't know how we were going to make it. But I said, honey, there's a war here. There's a fight here. There's a battle going on here. In this town, God's got some people. God's reaching. And we need to sell out and get in the fight. And we did. Now listen, I wouldn't tell anybody else to do that, okay? But that's what God laid on my heart. And guess what God did? He took care of us. He's taken care of us. Since that day, we probably added about 30 people to the church. That was back in June. God's doing miracles. But you know what we got to be willing to do sometimes? Get in the fight. Get in the fight. Say, oh, the price might be too steep. What if I die on the battlefield? Listen, some battlefields are worth dying on. If I fail, I'll know that by the grace of God, I did everything I could and that God Almighty shut the doors. And guess what? We can move on with a clear conscience. Amen. You know what we got to be willing to do? Be a man of war. Be a man of war. The temptation of the flesh comes up. You know what we are? Weak. Weak. We spend so much time watching TV and so little time in the Word of God that when it comes time to make a decision on which way we're going to go, we so easily go the wrong way. We're struggling big time at our church with some of our young people. The high school in South Lyon is nicknamed Heroin High. Heroin High. South Lyon has a really strange mixture. We have the very wealthy and we have the extremely poor. Very strange mixture. So even the poor kids, their parents don't care. They're out doing dope. And the rich kids' parents are all so busy working, they got no idea where the kids are, and the kids are out doing dope. 16-year-old young man came to our church. He was lost. He'd been coming for a little while. He left his backpack, and I probably shouldn't have done it, but I did. Out of curiosity, I got in there and looked. I found two different kinds of illegal drugs in his backpack, plus his mother's bottle of prescription pills. 16 years old. You know what? We got a problem. Our young people are so fully given to sin that they don't even have the power to fight against it. That's a sad thing, man. We need some men of war. Men who are fit for the battle. Men that can handle the shield and the buckler. Men of faith. We need to learn to handle the shield of faith. One of the greatest things that's been happening in America is the financial crisis. I know that sounds terrible. And if you're going through a hard time, God bless you. My heart goes out to you. It really does. But I'm finding one of the greatest things that happened is people losing their retirement accounts. People losing their jobs. It's funny because the bars fill up and the churches fill up. Kind of weird how people want to go right back to God once they lose the almighty dollar. All of a sudden, they're willing to talk now. I don't know what God's doing in my life, and I don't know what we need as Christians in this time is to strengthen our faith, because there's some people now today who are more open to the gospel of Jesus Christ than they were a few years ago, because they're learning that the almighty dollar can fail you, but Jesus never fails. He never fails. You go ahead, you put your life into money. You put your life into savings, into retirement, into figuring out the best way to diversify and how to have a nice, stable future. And then what could happen another 20, 30 years? Same thing. You know where the good place to be is? A man that can handle the shield of faith. And the buckler. They're men of truth. men of truth. You know what I want to be? I want to be a man of the Word of God. I want to know this book. I want to have this book not just in my head. I don't want to just carry around a big Bible so everybody can see how spiritual I am. I want to learn to let my Bible carry me. A man who's got a buckler on. A man who's got his loins girt about with truth. Listen, friends, we need to get more in the book today than we've ever been in our lives, because there's a war. The king's coming. Even though Saul's reigning now, even though the devil's the god of this world now, even though it might be getting close to the end, there's still some men who are willing to get in the fight, and God's going to bring the victory with these men. We need to be men of faith. I want you to see something else. They weren't just men who had separated themselves unto the king, but they were men who were wholly devoted to the conflict. Look at the end of verse 8. It says, whose faces were like the faces of lions. These men were men who were fully devoted to the fight they were in. They had nothing on their mind but serving God. Nothing on their mind but serving the king. Nothing on their mind but standing with him and following him and seeing him get the throne that God promised to him. Now, we're King James Bible believers. We don't believe we're bringing in the kingdom. But we do believe that one day He is going to reign. The problem is, too much of the time, folks, I find my own heart gets divided. I think if you're honest, you'd say the same thing. Our hearts get divided. We're not wholly committed to the conflict, to the battle that we're in. We need to sell out even more than we've ever been. We need to put on the pressure more than we've ever put it on. It's not time to back off and slow down and give up. It's time to press on for Jesus Christ, because God can and will still use our lives if we'll be mighty men and mighty women. Notice something else they could keep under their bodies. Look at verse number 1. It says, and now these are they that came to David to Ziklag, while he yet kept himself close because of Saul, the son of Kish. You know what David knew? He knew he had an enemy out there. And he learned how to keep himself close. You realize most of the time our biggest enemy is us? You ever notice that? It's my wife. If my God just gave me a better wife, I could be a better man. She ain't your problem. I know it's fun to blame it on her, but she ain't your problem. If I just had a more godly husband, my husband, if you just knew my husband, he ain't your problem, man. You know, we're in a generation of pass the buck. Pass the buck. Go to the psychologist and, oh, well, what happened? Your dad shot your dog? Oh, no wonder you're a mass murderer. That's a generation where we want to pass the buck all the time. It's always everybody else's fault why I am what I am. Why I'm not more what I should be. No, he learned to keep himself close. You know who my biggest enemy is? Me. And I got an enemy out there who wants to get me. You know what I got to learn to do? Like Paul said, keep under my body. Bring it into subjection. This flesh is sold under one thing, sin. You put a man up on a pedestal, you just give it some time, he'll fall. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing to me. People walk into church, into our church. I mean, we haven't even been there too. It'll be 2 years in January. First thing when they come, oh, this is just great. This is a heaven send. This is what we've needed for years. I think, okay, I'm laughing under my breath. Well, praise the Lord. What a blessing. Amen, amen. That's great. Give it 6 months. Give it 6 months. Same people are, oh, well, preacher, what we need to do with the problem with this place is, and say, and not even 2 years. You know what? The problem isn't everybody else. The problem's you. The problem's me. I need to learn to control me. I need to learn to keep myself close, because there's an enemy out there who wants to destroy me. Notice something else. These men weren't afraid to get in the fight. Look down with me, if you would, at verse number 17. David went out to meet them. And answered and said unto them, if ye come peaceably unto me to help me, mine heart shall be knit unto you. But if ye be come to betray me to mine enemies, seeing there is no wrong in my hands, the God of our fathers look thereon and rebuke it. Then the Spirit came upon Amasa, who was the chief of the captains, and he said, thine we are, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse. Peace, peace be unto thee, and peace be to thine helpers, for thy God helpeth thee. Then David received them, and made them captains of the band. You know what? David just amazes me. You see down there at the end of verse 2, it says, even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. David just accepted anybody who would come and say, listen, I'll fight with you.
I'm sorry, but if I knew these guys were Saul's brethren, you ain't getting on my side, man. Are you kidding me? You're going to betray me in the fight. Not David. David said, hey, listen, fellas, if you're willing to fight, come on, let's go fight. Hey, you're not here to betray me, are you? No, sir, we're thine. We're going to fight with thee. You know what? There are men willing to get into the battle. You know why you and I don't do more for God? We're kind of afraid. We're kind of afraid. What if God calls me to? What if God asks me to stop doing? What if God wants me to start? Uh-oh. Well, fine then. You'll never be one of David's mighty men. Fine then. You're going to miss out on the best God has for your life. Fine then. Go on. Search the bottom of a million bottles. Shoot, snort, or smoke every drug in the world. And you'll never find what you need. You'll never find what you're looking for. Because it's not out there. It's in selling out to Him. You know what we need to do? We need to get in the fight for Jesus Christ. Notice the last thing in verse number 33. These were men who were loyal to the king. Of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000 which could keep rank. They were not of a double heart. These men were loyal. These men were loyal to the king. You know what you and I need to be? Loyal to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We need to have our loyalty completely given to Jesus Christ. They were expert in war with all instruments of war. You know what that tells me? These guys could pray. These guys could rightly divide the word of truth. These guys could witness. These guys could do right. They could follow God. They were experts in all instruments of war. And it says down here that they could keep rank. They were not of a double heart. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know what the world does? It tries to pull our hearts to it. Listen, I don't think there's any sin in having nice things, all right? I told our church just the other day, I said, I hope every one of you gets just rich, has 5,000 square foot homes, and Lexus, and Beamer, and the Hummer, and all that stuff. I hope he is so rich, everybody can donate the pastor a Harley. I want a Harley. Everybody can donate one to the pastor. There's no sin in having nice things. There is a sin in having a double heart. There is a sin in having those things take precedence over Jesus Christ. Could God ask you for anything in your life and you'd willingly give it to Him? If you wouldn't willingly give it to Him, you got a double heart. We owe Him everything. These men were loyal to the king. Notice one other thing, they could keep rank. They could keep rank. You know what that tells me? There was unity among these men. I don't want to go into any fight with a guy that I ain't sure likes me. Amen? I want to get in the battle, but I want some people that can keep rank. God built the church. Jesus Christ set up the church in this day and age. We need to learn to keep rank in the church. Everybody has their different gift. Find out what yours is and get in and keep rank. God will use you. We think, oh, I'm not called to preach. I can't do nothing. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. God gives different gifts to everybody in the church. You know what we need to learn? To walk in unity. Churches too much of the time turn into too much of this going on back and forth. How can you really win a battle if you're shooting each other? Amen? The closer I get to God, the more I realize how far short I fall, the less time I have to worry about the next guy. We like to pick at each other all the time. Well, brother so-and-so didn't show up. Well, sister so-and-so wasn't here. Well, good night. Let's just keep rank. Why are we worrying about each other? Why are we busy shooting at each other all the time? You know what that is, folks? It's human nature. It's human nature. Pastor never said a word to me about this church, but good stuff. You know, I was pretty much, when I met Brother Veach, I had pretty much given up on preaching or pastoring it altogether. I had just come back from a church in Illinois, and it had gone terrible. 6 months, the thing ended in a mess. And I said, forget it. I don't want nothing to do with this anymore. And I met Brother Veach, and one of the first things he said to me is, I'm spoiled. God gave me a good bunch of people. He said, I'm happy and I'm in the ministry. I said, you can be happy and be in the ministry? He said, yes, you can be happy and be in the ministry. This church was a testimony to me hundreds of miles away before I ever even came here. But you know what human nature is?
it's not to keep rank. Look at every man for himself, man. Dog eat dog world we live in. You know what we need to learn? We need to learn to keep rank. We need to learn to be loyal to the King. You see, my loyalty is not to you. But if you are born again through the blood of Jesus Christ, you're my brother, you're my sister in Christ. You know what I ought to learn to do? I ought to learn to edify you and help you and fight together to see God do something in our day and in our age and in our country. Hey, listen, I'm all about missions. I hope to God that we, as a church, we can send as many people as possible to the mission field. I told our church my dream, my vision is to stay debt-free. We don't owe anybody in the world a penny right now, and we want to stay that way so we can just put money on the mission field. But you know what? We live in a mission field too. You know what we need to learn to do? We need to learn to keep rank. Look at verse number 23, if you would. These men came out ready and armed to the war. They came out ready to fight. When they came in, they realized they had a personal responsibility. They showed up to David ready and armed. Do you know God's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness? Everything we need is completely wrapped up in Jesus Christ. You know what the problem is? We're not ready. We're not ready. Notice something else. They came ready and armed, but they came to the proper leadership. They came to David. You see, too much of the time we go to church, we go to our religion, we go to our belief system, but we're not getting to Jesus Christ. How's your personal walk with Jesus Christ? When's the last time you and Him spent some time and you know you spent time with Him? How's your walk with Christ? Not only did they come to the proper leadership, but they came to the proper place. They came to Hebron. That's where David was. You see, we got this mentality that when is God going to show up in my life? When's God going to come to me? He ain't coming to you. He already sent His Son. He already came. You know what you got to do? You and I got to get to Him. They came to the proper place. And last of all, they had the proper pattern according to the Word of the Lord. These men were mighty men because they came to David with a heart to do battle, with a heart and a loyalty to that King. They knew he wasn't yet on the throne. They knew there was an enemy that wanted to stop him. They knew the enemy was bigger and more powerful in their day. But they knew God had anointed that man, and he was going to be the king. Let me say in closing, friend, God has anointed Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign on this earth, and I think he's coming back any second.
Amen.
Any second. Let me ask you a question. Are you ready? Are you a helper for the war? Young people, what are we doing about our generation? What does God want you to do about Staten Island? What does God want you to do about your school? What does God want you to do about your friends? You know what we need to do? We need to sell out to Jesus Christ and become a helper in the war. Because friends, there's a real war going on. But guess what? There is victory in Jesus Christ. In 2009, people still get saved. The gospel still works. They still come out to some crazy little guy ranting and raving about Jesus. And half the time, they don't even believe it. And they come and they sit and they listen. Because there's something about Jesus Christ that's just mighty sweet. There's something about Jesus Christ that every person needs. Are you a helper for the war? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, I pray, Lord God, that You'd help us to be helpers for the war. Help us, Lord, to be one of David's mighty men. God, I thank You for my Savior, Jesus Christ. And I thank You, Lord, that He's willing to yoke up with a bunch of guys in debt, discontented and distressed. Jesus Christ is willing to take a loser and make him a mighty man. And God, I know that without the King, I ain't never going to amount to a hill of beans. And God, I know that without the King in our generation, God, we're just going to be wind up depressed and discouraged and not seeing God do anything. Our children are going to go to hell. Our churches are going to go to hell. In 34 more years, who knows what this church is going to be like. If some young men don't get in and decide they're going to be helpers in the war. Father, help us to be helpers in the war today. stir our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor?
Amen. Keep your heads bowed and eyes closed just for a second. I want to ask you a question. I don't know if there's anyone here tonight that's not saved. Might be. I don't know. You've heard some good preaching tonight. It's the preaching of the Word of God, the preaching of the Gospel. The Lord even calls it the foolishness of preaching. You think He could have chosen some more noble means of drawing men to Himself, but no, that was God's idea. Just to have somebody get up and preach the Word of God. That was God's idea. That's how God draws men to decisions. That's how God draws men and women to Jesus Christ. And either way, if you're here saved tonight, then the Lord, through the preaching of His Word, is drawing you to a decision. Either to an agreement with the Word of God, so you can say amen, or maybe He's showing you something missing in your life. Something in your life that's missing, maybe you overlooked it, you aren't paying attention, and the Spirit of God points it out to you. That's the great value of preaching. God uses it to point things out to you in your life that you might not have been paying attention to. And God also uses the preaching to draw lost sinners to Christ, to draw them to the cross. So there's no one here tonight for whom this message was not intended. You can't sit here and say, well, that was a good one. I wish Brother so-and-so was here, or wish that one was here. That. No, there's no one here tonight for whom that message was not intended. There was something in it. God designed something in it for every one of us. And it spoke to my heart in more than one area of my life. It reminded me of some things. And I also, brother, I love that passage of Scripture. Those men that were in debt and in distress, they weren't the cream of the crop. They were the bottom of the barrel. And God delights in getting those who are not full of themselves, self-sufficient, think they can handle it all and do it all. God just delights in taking people like you and me. He saves us, and then He fills us, and then He uses us. And if you're here tonight and you know you're saved, I don't know what God said to you in this message. I know what He said to me. And I know what I need to do. But if you're here tonight, what God said to you in this message, then you need to respond to the Lord tonight. Would you say yes to God tonight? Maybe it was just that you would come and follow the Lord more closely. You'd serve the Lord that way. You'd be obedient. If you're a Christian here tonight, I hope you'll respond to the Word of God. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, well, it'd be a joy to us and a joy to God if tonight would be the night of your salvation. I just ask you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed just for a second. And if you're here tonight and you are saved, say, yes, that message spoke to my heart. And I know there is something in my life the Lord wants me to do. Some way that I know God spoke to me tonight, a way that I need to respond. Something in my life that needs to be different. Maybe some part of my life I need to surrender. Something. In some way, God spoke to me tonight, and by God's grace, I want to give the Lord what He's asking me to give. Is there anyone like that here tonight? You're saved, you know, all right, amen. Amen, all right, praise the Lord. There's no one here to impress. You don't have to raise your hand to make me happy. But if God said something to you tonight, and you understood what He was saying, and by God's grace, you want to give the Lord what it was He was tugging at your heart about tonight. You know He was tugging at your heart. You want to surrender that thing. You want to give that. Maybe you've tried before. Maybe you failed before. It's okay. You forget the past. Tonight's another night. Say, I know God was speaking to my heart. I want to give the Lord what He asked me to give. I hope you will tonight. Now, maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. I don't know. Is there someone like that here this evening? You say, I don't know for sure that if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven. But I'd love to get it settled with God. If God would really save me and forgive me, if He would really give me eternal life tonight, I'd accept it. I would accept it. If God would do that for me tonight, I would accept it. Is there anyone like that here tonight? Just lift your hand and put it right back down. Nobody's looking. You say, I know I need to be saved. And if the Lord would save me tonight, I would accept it. Anyone like that? Just lift your hand up and put it right back down. Anyone? All right. Okay, we're going to stand. We're going to sing a hymn. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to be dismissed. If you want to settle it with the Lord right where you're seated, if you want to come here, you want to pray, if you need to talk to me, you need some help here at the end of the meeting, we'll be around, we'll be here to help you. Okay, let's stand together and let's stand and look at number 249. I know it's an old hymn. Some places and sometimes it gets sung to death, but it's a good song and it's a good hymn, and the truth here is important in this song. Just as I am, number 249. Number 249. Whether you're saved or lost, this song is true for you. Now listen. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Was the Lord speaking to you tonight? Is there somewhere in your heart, you know, Lord, you want me to come to a decision about something? You know, in the tribulation, there's a time and a place called the Valley of Decision. Down into the Valley of Decision, there's going to be a time when the Spirit of God moves us to decisions in our life, conclusions where we come to agree with God about things. When you got saved, you made a decision. You came to an agreement with God. The Bible said you were a sinner, and maybe you resisted that thought or neglected that thought, rejected that thought, but one day the Spirit of God brought you into agreement with the Scriptures. And you said, well, I am a sinner. And the Bible says, if you don't know Christ, you're going to hell. You may not have believed that, but then there came a day when you agreed with God. You said, well, I am going to hell. I need to be saved. And you made a decision. And the Spirit of God moves that way. He reproves you, proves again to you, reminds you, brings you into agreement with Him. That's the purpose of a reproof. Bring you into agreement with the truth. That's what the Spirit of God works in, not just in the lost, but in the saved every night. The Lord is trying to prove again, reprove you, bring you into agreement with the Word of God. Now, that's how He works, through the preaching of the Word, to do that. And if God brought you to some agreement with Him tonight, then thank Him for it. But if He's tugging at your heart, and He's of one opinion, He says one thing and you think another thing, you are never going to be happy until you and God agree on it. Is He calling you to do something? Is He calling you to live a different kind of a Christian life? Did He speak to you tonight about some habit in your life that you know is holding you back? Maybe it's wrecking your family. Maybe it's ruining your health. Maybe it's ruining your testimony. Maybe you could be one of those soldiers, those mighty men of God, but that's just one little thing in your life. You don't want to let it go. It's more important to you than a life of value and service and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe that's what the Spirit of God keeps tugging at your heart about. When are you and God going to agree about it? How many times does He have to prove to you again that this needs to happen? Because there comes a time when the Spirit of God says, okay, that's enough, I'm not proving it anymore. I proved it again and again and again. Woe unto that Christian when God stops speaking to him. Woe unto that Christian when God no longer says, okay, that's it. There comes a time in a Christian's life when God just stops speaking to you. He won't keep dealing with you about it. You keep saying no. You keep resisting. You won't lay down that thing that He asks you to lay down. You won't surrender to the call of God in your life, whatever it might be in your life. And there comes a time when the Lord says, okay, all right, I'll stop dealing with you about it. And then you think, oh man, okay, this is good. I don't feel bothered about it anymore. Boy, woe to that Christian. You get to that place in your life where you're not bothered about things in your life that ought to be different, sin in your life that ought to be left aside. Woe to you. There's judgment coming for you. There's a sad day at the judgment seat of Christ coming for you. I don't know who I'm talking to here tonight. I don't know. I hope there's one here. The Spirit of God is just stabbing you in the heart tonight. Why don't you just surrender? Why don't you stop fighting God? Why don't you stop fighting Him? You're not going to win. You're not going to win. You might win a round now and then, but when the bell and the fight's all over, you don't win. There ain't nothing you can do. You may think you won a round here or there. When the fight's over, you're on the mat. God's the champ. You're fighting a losing battle if you're going to resist the Spirit of God. Why do we do it as a church? Why do we do it? Why do we resist? Why is sometimes our sin so precious to us? We don't want to let it go. We'd rather have that than just be right with God and clean with God. I'm just hoping that something will hear. I know the preaching. God uses the preaching to get to you. I'm not trying to use a song to get to you. I don't want to get to you. I just want the Spirit of God to have His way. Just as I am. Just as I am. Is that a comfort? Just as I am. I don't have to clean up. I don't have to make promises to God. I don't have to sign here, I'm going to be a good boy, God, from now on. You just come like you are. You just come to God just like you are. All screwed up, if that's the case. All messed up. Failures in the past. Not a pretty good track record to show for anything. That's all right. He's the God of 1,000 chances. Thank God for that. Just as I am. Without one plea. Not a leg to stand on. Nothing. Just, Lord, this is me. Just nothing. Without one plea. But Lord, I come. What a blessing. God is looking for that. He's looking for that. Just like you are. Just come. And God promises, I'll take it from there. I'll do the rest. I'll give you the grace. I'll save your soul. I'll help you grow. I'll wash away your sin. I'll make you a new creature. You don't have to do that. You just have to come, just the way you are. Even after you're saved, this isn't a song for just the lost. Even after you're saved, you mess things up, just come again. That's all. I don't mean get saved over again, but just come back to God. Say, Lord, okay, here I am. I messed it up. Thank God, you just have to come. We're going to sing just these last verses, and that's it. We're going home. Is there someone here still needs to make a decision? If you do, you can just kneel down right where you are. Settle it right there with God. You can come down here. You want to talk with me? Pray with me. I'm a nobody, but we'll pray together. Two or more of you agree, you know, touching anything. There's power in that. If you want somebody to pray with, we'll pray with you here about it. But don't resist the Spirit of God. Don't go out of here dumb. Don't resist the Spirit of God. Let God have His way. All right? Or maybe there's everybody here. Maybe everybody here tonight just right with God and we're just all perfect. Let's just go home. But if there's something here that's not resolved, the Spirit of God isn't happy until it is resolved. Make Him happy. Get it settled. See God bless you again. See God pour His favor out in your life. I'm just begging you. You don't know what you're missing. You just don't know what you're missing. You're crazy if you pass this up. Please, consider. If God spoke to your heart tonight, just give up. Just yield. Surrender. Let God have what He wants. Would you do that? Sing a couple more verses, and then that's it. If you're not going to move, if your heart's not going to bend, if your will's not going to be surrendered, then there's certainly nothing more I'm going to do to try and twist your arm. All right, let's see. Let's do that fourth verse. Just as I am, that door. Let's be honest with God for just a second. bowed, every eye closed. Here tonight, you're being honest with God. You say, no, I'm not right with the Lord tonight. I'm not right with God. I'm not right with God tonight. And I don't feel good about it. But I want to be honest. I'm not right with God. Head bowed, eyes closed. Nobody looking around. Don't take a peek at what your neighbor's doing. You say, if I were honest tonight, I'm not where I should be with God. Would you lift your hand up? Okay. Amen. Amen. Okay. 4 or 5 minutes. Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Anybody else? Okay. Yes, sir. Say, I'm not right with God tonight. I know things aren't right in my heart tonight.
I just want to see if you'd be honest with God. Would you be honest with Him tonight? Is there anyone else? Say, I'm not where I should be tonight. I'm not right with the Lord. Things are not right in my heart. Here's my hand. Lift it up. I want to pray for you. I sincerely want to pray for you. Amen. God bless you. I want to pray for you. And I'm not going to extend this invitation. But I'm going to ask you tonight. If you're here tonight, you'd say, I am not saved. I know I'm not saved. I don't want to do anything about it tonight. But I know I'm not saved. And I need some help. I need your prayers. Could I pray for you tonight? Is there anyone like that? Just lift your hand and put it right back down. Say, I know I'm not saved. I know I should be. I don't want to do it tonight, but I know I need to be saved. Please pray for me. Is there anyone like that? Just lift your hand and put it right back down. Now, you know you don't need a week to get right with God. You don't need a day. You don't need a Bible study course to get it fixed. You need about a minute alone with God somewhere. You just need to get away from whoever even is near you now. You need about a minute with the Lord alone. Speak to Him. Ask Him for grace and mercy, and you know it's settled in a second. In 1 second, it's settled, it's clean, it's gone, it's forgiven, it's right. Doesn't mean there might not be repercussions if you've made some bad decisions, but you know your heart can be clean and your conscience can be clear. The sins, all that stuff that gets in the way of your walk with God and your fellowship with God, that can get settled in a minute. And you can be walking in harmony with God again. Now there's a number of hands that were raised here in this room tonight, and that'll be a shame if you go out that door without it fixed. Don't do that. Let this meeting begin in a good way. Settle it tonight. I'm asking you, for the sake of your brothers and sisters in Christ here, for the sake of the meetings, let's not grieve the Spirit of God in going out that door this way. Settle it. You don't have to tell a soul you settled it. God will know. You and the Lord. I'm not trying to. It doesn't matter to me whether there's people at this altar or not. We don't measure the way God's working by that. God's just measuring what you do in your heart with the preaching you heard tonight and what the Spirit of God said to you. Do something with that. Settle it. Father, thank you for the time together tonight. And Lord, I'm praying for my brothers and sisters tonight. Lord, we need you. I need you. Lord, we're asking you for not just a revival meeting, but revival. New hearts, clean hearts, right hearts. Revival. Lord, it's not something we can schedule on the calendar. It has to be something sent down from heaven. And I'm asking you that you do it, Lord, in the hearts of your people. Cleanse us and make us new and draw us closer, Lord. Thank you for our brother. Thank you for the message tonight. Thank you for the reminder that you're not looking for our qualifications. It doesn't have to be the cream of the crop. Thank you, Lord, that you'll take us the way we are. And Lord, please, I'm asking you to do a work. Bless these meetings. Strengthen our church. Clean the sin out of this camp, Lord, and save souls, we pray. Pray that Jesus Christ might be honored and glorified, Lord, by His people being obedient to His Word and us living the things that we know are true, living Your Word. Help us in this. Thank You again, Lord, for the time together tonight. Thank You for the message. And Lord, may You bless the rest of this weekend, the meetings. We pray for just Your hand upon it all, Lord. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you go tonight,
two quick things. Some people asked about having public ministry tomorrow if it was canceled because of these special meetings. No, if you want to be here tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, we'll go out for a little while, do some preaching, do some tract distribution. So 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, meet here at the church. We won't be out long because there's still a lot of work to do in the afternoon, but come and be a part of that. It'll be a real blessing. Just come out and preach with us. We'll probably stay local here somewhere, and you can be a part of that, all right? And I forget what the second thing was. Oh, if you got a special blessing from the message tonight, the baskets are still back there in the back. All right, you can do some more on your way out the door. All right?
All right, God bless you. We're dismissed.